So the reading today is traditionally called the Song of Simeon. We know about the Song of Mary. We know also about the Song of Zechariah. It was now time for Simeon to sing. And so when I look at the scripture, it seems to me that the angels, the prophets, Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, Simeon, this is what they do. They sing because this is how God touched the core of their very being. So the scripture says that it was this period of long waiting, of long advent, and finally ended when the old priest, Simeon, greeted Christ in the temple that day. And I imagine Simeon in his old age, in his frail being, perhaps with hands that a little bit trembling and the legs probably not sure about each step, measured step. All of a sudden, when he heard that Jesus was in his midst, Jesus that he had been waiting for all of his years already, all of a sudden there was a spring in his step, and there was like a joyous response. And then he greeted the child Jesus into God's holy sanctuary. In Luke's retelling the story, the next big event after the birth of Jesus, as described in the scripture, was the time of purification, the time for Mary to be purified, and also the time for the new covenant, which is circumcision. This is a new covenant for every firstborn, which was a primary sign of Jewish identity. Simeon offered these words: "This child will be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to God's people, for all of God's people, Gentile and Jew, for all of Israel." I imagine that Simeon and the religious personalities have been anticipating this very holy moment. And I imagine that Simeon and all of the religious people, the singers, the liturgists, those who prepare the temple, have been rehearsing, this ancient song from the prophet Isaiah. And I think most of us are familiar with this ancient song from Isaiah 9. "For unto us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." These are ancient words, but these words are really full of meaning. And if you want to say it in another way, these are loaded words. For when people says, "Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, the Everlasting Prince of Peace," you're talking about a different kind of reality, a different kind of message. So imagine Simeon inviting all the choir members, the liturgists, and all of those who were involved in this temple worship to come out. You know, bring all of your instruments, bring all of your incense, bring all of your candles, bring all of the bells, bring everything that is worthy of praise to God, because we are going to sing a song of welcome. And as Simeon cradled the child in his arms, he implored the Lord, which is interesting. He said, "Lord, let your servant now depart in peace. Let your servant now go." And I thought, why would Simeon say that? You know, isn't this supposed to be a glorious time? But that's what he said. "Lord, let your servant now go in peace." But then we hear the words that followed after that: "For my eyes have seen the salvation of our God." It was a benediction. It was repeated not only during that time, but it was repeated after every ceremony of the covenant, after every joyful ceremony. It was repeated by Simeon. But when Simeon repeated these words, you know, there's a certain ring to this final benediction. But at least for Mary and Joseph, you know, prior to this presentation in the temple, it was really a short trip from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to follow all the prescribed rituals. Some say that it's about 5 kilometers away from Bethlehem to the Holy Temple. But imagine all of these parents from outlying regions going to Jerusalem. You know, that was quite a trip back in those days. It was not mentioned in the Gospel of Luke, but the women's rite happens outside of the gate or in another gate because they were not really permitted to mingle with the rest of the men folks in the temple courtyard. It was not mentioned that there was also a pool called Mikbah, and this is the place where women, after giving birth and going through purification ceremony, will undergo a ritual bath and will emerge from that bath and experience the ritual of purification. And so it was not mentioned also that after that they will go to this holy place and will parade and line up, you know, with the rest of the firstborns ready to receive this ritual ceremony. And of course, because according to the scripture they were poor, they brought a pair of young pigeons or turtle doves as their offering, because that's all the family could afford at this particular time. Jewish festivals were a source of community pride. Festivals were also a time to catch up with folks, you know. And when you think about all of our celebrations, it's festive, joyful. There was a spirit of hope and celebration. And so the ceremony consisted of formal presentation of the child to the priest for, we call it redemption. And the priest will receive the child. It's kind of like baptism. What's name given to this child? Is the mother pure? Have you done the required offering and sacrifice? And if all the answers are yes, and then you go on to the next ritual. It's interesting because it says, in order to be what we call redeemed by God in the temple, all it requires is 5 shekels. 5 shekels is required. It's about $1.29 in our time today. You know, it is really intended as an offering, you know, for the work of ministry for the church. It's not a payment, but rather it's a gift for the church. 5 shekels. That's all it takes. $1.29 to be redeemed by God. But when you think about the whole picture, about the redemption of what God has given us in return, his whole life, you know, you can see the implication of the ritual of redemption. So Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and he would not die until, according to the scripture, he would not come face to face with Christ. So Simeon has been waiting all these long years to his frail self. A declaration that salvation is for all of God's people. And when I look at the scripture, I wondered about the pious folks. Sometimes I wonder, all of us, you know, those who come to church after Christmas Eve services, we're here, you know, who come to church because this is what we do. I wonder about all of those pious people in the synagogue during this time. How can this be? We devoted our time in prayer, in holy living. And what Simeon is saying, you know, God's grace and gift is free after all. You know, even those who are outside of the temple precincts, those who are outside of the church, are now going to receive God's precious gift. There was another pious soul. It's interesting. Her name is Anna, who has been waiting for this moment. Anna was really acquainted with grief. She was a widow at an early age. We have this medieval concept that pious devotion is filled with dread and you are locked up in a self-depicting grief. We've seen this in movies, right? You know, pious people in black or gray habit and with a scarf or with a head covering. This is our concept, isn't it? The medieval concept of someone who is devoted to God. And then all of a sudden, in the scripture, we find something else. She came out, and when it comes to worship, there is joy. You know, there is this particular sense of a joy in her life. I was thinking of Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord to seek wisdom and shelter from Simeon and Anna. To seek wisdom and shelter from God is like a balm for our own healing and for our own redemption. So how do we say hello? I know that there's a popular song by Adele, Hello. But I'm not sure how I can incorporate that to the sermon, so I'm not going to go into that. It's more of a heartbreak, isn't it? Hello, and then calling his our boyfriend or something like that. But how do we say hello? A hello with a heartfelt greeting. How do you say hello that's not rehearsed, that's not instructed by the corporate people, you know, because you have to say hello because you have to. That's your standard greeting. So how do you say hello and then all of a sudden you get spritzed up with some cologne or some perfume as you go to Macy's or some other stores that you hang out with? And whenever I see a person ready to spritz me up, I go to the next aisle, you know. I don't want to be spritz up. I don't want to be lathered with some Victoria's Secret lotion or anything like that. I don't want to be anointed, you know. I want to avoid without offending the overzealous greeter asking about my day. I don't want people to know how my day is going. I just want to go there, and if I have a gift to exchange, I want to go there and get my money back. Can you do that? Well, maybe they do. But how do you say hello in a world that is sometimes preoccupied with negativity today? You know, I found out that Thomas Edison rallied the word hello. He used the word hello when he invented the telephone. There was his friend who was also influential, and his friend said, I really don't want to say the word hello. I think we should say the word ahoy when we greet one another. Can you imagine that? If his friend won, then we would be saying ahoy to all of you, right? Instead of saying hello. And you know, his friend also wanted to say, instead of saying goodbye, his friend wanted to say, that's all, folks. That's what they want to say. Instead of goodbye, that's all, folks. Can you imagine that? Instead of goodbye, we're all saying, that's all, folks. Isn't there a cartoon character that's doing that? Can you imagine the implication of that without any blessing at all? But Simeon rendered his hello to this holy child, and Anna's welcome paved the way for other listeners to hear the redemption of Israel. In Hebrew, hello is shalom. So when people are going out to venture into unknown territory, they say shalom, which is also welcome, or baruch haba, which is welcome. Here was the joy of every longing heart. Here was God's future, our future, wrapped in bands of cloth, because those who have seen darkness have seen a great light. In that word alone, darkness, you know, was like was something that the people know. They know about the Assyrians. They know about the Babylonians. They know about the Persians. They know their history. And all of a sudden, here we are. The good news that is upon us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, the oil of joy instead of mourning, in a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Interesting, because when Jesus also spoke later on, when He entered the Nazareth synagogue to start his ministry, a scroll was handed to Him. Remember what I said. That is what Simeon and Anna recited. So when Jesus entered that synagogue, He turned to the same passage from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news. I was thinking that's just a simple hello, but as a simple hello opened a new door. Being the first doesn't always mean you are the first to understand. Mary was given these words, but being the first doesn't necessarily mean you get it right. Sometimes it takes a generation, and I believe it takes the wisdom of the community for all of us to understand. And finally, and I think you recall there was a passage in the scripture wherein a prince or a royalty from Ethiopia was riding back to his home country and was reading the scripture. And one of the disciples asked him, "Do you know what you are reading?" And the prince says, "No, I don't, unless someone tells me what I'm reading and explain it to me, how can I really know?" So I think as we end our Sunday for the rest of the year, I think all of us have this great responsibility, you know, to share that good news that we have, that evangel, so that every act of praise is worthy. Simeon's hello, Anna's hello is an opening. I think it is an opening to God's gift of grace. So when you leave this place, may you share that hello, an expression of God's love for you and for me. Amen. We're going to sing a song, number 241, "That Boy Child of Mary." So let us stand.
Please be seated. And now, if the ushers could come forward, we will have our morning offering. Good morning, ushers. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. We celebrate with profound joy in the birth of your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. We gratefully offer our gifts this day, knowing that you have already given us the greatest gift that we all will ever receive. We pray in the name of the one who is that gift, the babe born in a manger, the source of the true light of our force in our lives. Amen.